Welcome to the Data Blitz.
I'm going to do what's best for the team.
Welcome back to day three of the draft, and the Sonny Weaver Jr. fan club is with you here. Oh, I mean the Nano Blitz. Hi, Tim.
Oh, hi, Nate.
Hi. How are your barbecue meatballs?
The meatballs and Little Smokies were great. They were fantastic.
I didn't realize that was going to come through so awesomely last recording there.
Yeah, that was great. So the draft has just started, and I love who Seattle just took.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's in their system. They're going with smaller corners these days. Sorry, we're live reaction right here with Kobe Bryant being taken. I guess he's not really too small. He's what, 5'10" something? I'm gonna have to look this up now. Now you got me intrigued, you know. But he played opposite of Sauce.
Kobe Bryant, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good corner. I'm excited to see what he does. I think he
6'1". I was wrong.
He's a big
guy. I thought
he
was okay.
But I think he's a guy that gets overlooked because he played on the other side of Sauce Gardner. But he played well, though, on the other side of Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, considering that, you know, Sauce wasn't getting targeted a whole lot. And, I mean, that whole secondary, honestly, that Cincinnati secondary this year, like, I love Cook.
Yeah, Cook is good.
He cooks.
And who was it that took him earlier? Is that the recall is hard.
Yeah, I'm dazed and confused.
Brian, he went to Kansas City, of course.
That's what I thought. Okay, because yeah, they need versatility, and he's he could do man coverage and zone coverage, and you could also play him a little bit in the box, and you know,
yeah.
Speaking of which, I guess, you know, we're gonna probably start the topic right here of teams and drafting, because we're already kind of talking about that.
Sure.
And I guess who are some of your misses, like teams that are missing? I'm going to start with that, because we're going to start off with the trying to be a positive outlook, you know, and try to keep it positive. But
sure.
But what are you doing? You know, like, okay, this tells a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And it's definitely not Kansas City, because we were just talking about Kansas. Kansas City is doing fantastic.
There's a lot of teams doing really well.
Yeah, I think teams are. Oh, here's another great player that just came off the board here. The Ravens took Falele. This is a team that's also been doing fantastic in the draft.
Yes.
Now, I think the only thing, you kind of look at that trade they made with Marquise Brown, and you're like, okay, but what are they doing at wide receiver?
But maybe they believe in Ty Wallace and yeah. Bateman
yeah.
more than the rest of us, you know, like
it's quite possible, you know,
Bateman
could have been a big deal. You can get a wide receiver somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just, that was a lot of production, 91 yards, 91 catches over 1,000 yards mm-hmm. for Marquise Brown. So you got to wonder what they're doing. But yeah, but the teams that maybe need to start looking at changing things up, changing the script here, New England is top on my list here. And we were talking about this before we started recording. Your wife, Sarita, made this point. When they took Tyquan Thornton, you know, we heard Greeny on ESPN say something like, oh, well, Belichick's earned the benefit of the doubt. Sarita was like, no, he hasn't. Not with wide receivers. Like, absolutely not, he hasn't. You know, he's hit on a few other positions where people scratch their head at the initial draft, but you know, and it's like Cole Strange is a good, good pick, but
they're good players. I just have,
yeah,
I have problems with where they're being selected and who they're being selected.
Exactly.
Over and
well, the only guy that they picked at a good value for where they picked him was Marcus Jones from Houston. I mean, and that guy's good. I think he's going to be a good player.
He's a nice special teamer, yeah, that may be more for you depending on the scheme.
Yeah, but But you passed on some receivers that I would have taken way ahead of Thornton to get him where you got him. You know, probably could have traded down again and still gotten Cole Strange. Rumor is the Jets were trying to trade back into the first round to get Breece Hall yesterday and couldn't do it and ended up getting him at the top of the second, where they traded up with, I forget who they traded with, but they made that move in, with the Giants. They made a trade with the Giants. Okay, if you could have gotten the Jets back into the first round and they got Breece Hall and lost more capital, and you got their capital as a division rival, and you still end up with Cole Strange at the top of the second, I mean, how much smarter do you look then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the thing. I think you're taking players that would have been there for your next pick.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think they're, you know, like I think we mentioned this yesterday, is maybe they just think that they're smarter than everybody else and they don't care. So, okay, it is going. Okay. I had that panic moment where.
Are we recording?
Are we recording?
We are.
But, you know, I just think that they need to evolve.
Yeah.
All the other teams have started to evolve now because of what New England's done, especially in the later rounds. Now, we'll see what happens today. They have 3/4 right now.
Yeah.
But Baltimore has like 4, something like that. I mean, we'll see. But I'm total agreeance. New England, it's just head scratching. Like, and I don't have any hair. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next on my list here, Jacksonville. I talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show. So Jacksonville, especially what they did with the linebackers.
It's just redundancy.
Yeah. They take two linebackers. They trade up to get a linebacker and then take another linebacker with their next pick.
Well, no, they skipped one. So you had 2 firsts and then you didn't pick again until the third. And they picked, the center, Faulkner.
Yeah, who felt like a reach for him at that point.
And then they went with Muma, and Muma's a fine player, but
no, I like Muma, but I think
it just doesn't make as much sense, you know.
Well, imagine you don't trade up and get Devin Lloyd.
Yeah.
And you get some weapons for your quarterback, or a higher rated offensive lineman to protect your quarterback. Instead, you end up with both Devin Lloyd and Chad Muma. You could have drafted Chad Muma in the third still and been fine. You could have potentially still gotten, we talked about this yesterday, you could have gotten Lloyd potentially where you were already at.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could have had, again, and you would have had more capital to draft more players and get more stuff. But instead you've got 2 linebackers, a defensive end and a center. And you didn't even get like I don't know. I just don't see Luke Fortner as the guy.
No, and yeah, you know, and this isn't me being biased, because everybody knows how much I love Uck and Kansas players.
I don't.
I don't like either of those.
Yeah.
Fortner's not even the best player on the line.
No, he's not. You know, you still got Kennard there.
And Rosenthal, who's got some, you know, possible off-field stuff, but he's got a motor.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, so Jacksonville is on there. Now, I've got my next 2 primed and ready. I don't know if you've got somebody else on.
Are we good or bad?
I'm still on the I'm not really sure what you're doing, you know? I'll just keep going. Washington.
Yeah.
I don't really know what you're doing here. We talked about it yesterday. You traded back to lose out on the best wide receivers and then reached on a wide receiver after you traded back. And like, that's not how you do that, you know? So that one feels off to me. Then they go and they get Fedarian Mathis, right? And it's not a knock on Mathis, but it's just like, is that your need? Like, you're cutting interior defensive linemen to save, yes, to save cap money, but also because you are stacked. You have defensive linemen. Defensive line is not your problem. But that's where you go. And then with your third pick, you take Brian Robinson because you're in love with Alabama players. And that's fine, and Brian Robinson is fine. I don't have a problem with Brian Robinson. But did you need a running back?
Well, they do need more depth at that position. I would agree with that, but
yeah, but is that your is yeah. depth at running back your highest is that your highest need? Is that your third pick need when you have running backs that were going to be available later? Right? There are a lot of running backs still out there and still available. And speak of the devil, Washington is on the clock right now. Getting ready to pick, but you know,
yeah, and the Jets just, yeah.
Jets just took Max Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, Giants, nice depth piece.
Yeah, Giants took Daniel Bellinger. The Jets are still doing great.
Still like the Giants. We'll get into that.
Yeah, and then the last team on my list here is Chicago. And Chicago's not doing badly, but you're not doing anything. Okay, so they just took a safety. Washington took a safety, Percy Butler, out of Louisiana.
Who's a special teamer and a returner,
right?
So
okay, fine, but still, like, you could have had an impact safety earlier. You could have had somebody else at that position that was going to be more impactful for your team. Regardless, Chicago. They got two good secondary players, right? Players for their secondary. But then they go and they get Velus Jones.
Yeah. Right.
So you follow up Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker in the second round, two good players. You get Velus Jones in the third round, knowing you're not picking again until the fifth round. And so my issues here are not that you take Velus Jones. It's just, again, it's where you take him. I don't know that he's an early third round pick. And what are you doing to protect? What are you doing to protect Justin Fields?
Well, I mean,
nothing right now.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Like, we're seeing it already. Like, if you just look at who's been drafted since we started the fourth round here, Daniel Falele, Max Mitchell, are both off the board here at this point at offensive tackles.
I think Mitchell's going to be a chess piece, though, a little bit more for, you know, move him inside mostly, but yeah.
Sure. You know, but now you're waiting till the fifth round to get anything, any help on offensive line.
Excuse me. Tight.
Pardon me. You know, so you're hoping that a Darian Kennard is still there, that a Jamari Salyer is still there, that a Zach Tom is there, Marquise Hayes maybe. I mean, there's some, you know, a favorite of mine, Chris Paul, but, like, you're hoping some of these guys are going to fall. Maybe you're hoping that you can get a Willetzko from North Dakota. Again, there's not, these aren't bad players. Oh, like, Broncos just took a corner. I like who they took. They took Mathis. I guess I don't understand what Chicago's trying to do.
I think it's the former regime's trades aren't helping that.
Yeah.
But they're not really moving around.
And they hired a defensive minded coach, didn't they?
Yeah, Eberflus.
Yeah.
Former Mizzou defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so they like bigger corners, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, so, I mean, I think they're good at corner now.
Yeah.
But what are you doing offensive? You know, it's almost like the opposite. Well, actually, no, not the opposite. The same thing that
that Jacksonville's doing with Trevor Lawrence. What are you doing with the offense? You know, right. And yeah, you gave him one weapon, but you didn't sign anybody, you know, like, yeah. Or anybody of note, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Jacksonville signed somebody of wide receiver of note only because they overpaid him.
Well, I'm talking about Chicago. Sorry. Yeah,
but Chicago didn't.
I flipped really quickly there.
Yeah. But no, you're right. Chicago didn't replace any of their missing pieces.
And maybe that's their idea. They're cutting some of these contracts or, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. All right. So who am I missing or what thoughts do you have in order?
Yeah. Beyond those three teams, like nothing really predominantly sticks out, you know. The only thing that you could really say is the only team that kind of reached, so to speak, would be Pittsburgh reaching in the first, but I like their second round pick, you know, and
yeah, I like George.
They at least have a game plan, right?
Right.
Despite that pick and where it was, they got their guy. That's what they're committed to, you know, and then they did some movement and whatnot to pick up the other Pickens, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's
Pickett and Pickens. And I like their third round pick in DeMarvin Leal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a defensive lineman that could have been that could have gone higher. At one point, it was thought to go higher.
And seeing him play against Mizzou this year, I was like, dude is taking on two blockers.
Yeah.
And he was still making the tackle with one arm. You know, yeah, like I'm like, he's got some, you know, finesse and power to his game.
Yeah, I think he's a great value in the third round.
He kind of matches their system, too. So, sure. Yeah, they have a way. I usually don't question Pittsburgh's moves because they have stability is the big thing.
Well, I wonder how stable they really are right now. I kind of wonder in this draft if they see themselves as more stable than they actually are.
Well, I mean, this is their GM's last draft.
Yes.
And so maybe it's him wanting to put his footprint on the quarterback position or, you know, something like that, but
could be.
You still have a hierarchy there. Like, I'm usually not going to question their moves quite, you know, most of the time.
Okay.
Let's go to the really good, like, who's knocking it out of the park, I guess. Like, I'm just going to start. Jets.
Agreed.
One word. I could spell it out for you.
It's a four-letter word.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of four-letter words, but
yes.
We're not going to go there. no, like, I just like what they're doing, right? They're building a defense, and then they're also building support for their quarterback that they picked last year. Like, this is what a team in those high capital areas should be doing. A bit of a mixture, but they're getting value at each pick.
Yeah.
I actually, like, a lot of people could scratch their head about Jeremy Ruckert, but I think he was underutilized as a pass receiving threat. And like, you look at his high school highlights even, and you're like, oh, okay. He's a receiver as well. You know, like, there's a reason why he was an Army All-American. So, you know, I like him as a player, but he can also block. Ironically, the analysts were like, oh, well, he's got to learn how to block a little bit more. Well, that was his main job at Ohio State. Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, but I'm not an analyst.
I love that he was a Jets fan, too. Like, he grew up rooting for the Jets.
Yeah, he's a New York boy.
Yeah, you got those pictures of him wearing Jets gear. So that's kind of a cool story, too. You can get an extra level of excitement when you get a player like that. I think that's cool. But you're right. They're hitting both sides of the ball. They're getting positions they need on both sides of the ball. Getting weapons for their rookie or second-year quarterback. while also getting better on defense.
And the value. Again, yeah. They're hitting the value. Breece Hall at the fourth pick in the second round.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
You had the capital to move yourself there.
Yeah.
You know, like you've positioned yourself to get the guys you need.
Yeah. And they're on the clock again. Yeah. You know, anything that you want to add to that or...
To the Jets? Nah. Okay. No, you got it.
Okay. What's another team that you got?
Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs are doing great. They're a team that has done something similar where they're moving and positioning themselves in the right place. And they're grabbing great players that are falling to them at the right spots. You know, falling might be the wrong word, but, you know, trade up to get Trent McDuffie, snag Karlaftis at 30, get Sky Moore in the second, Brian Cook in the second. And then Leo Chenal from Wisconsin, like you're feeling really good about what they are building on their team. And again, they only got one offensive player in there, right? They got one offensive weapon, but they already have a lot of offensive weapons. They really only lost Tyreek Hill, you know.
Well, I mean, and Pringle and Pringle's
a guy.
Just yeah, he's, you know, he's a dude. That's it.
You've got underutilized guys like Mecole Hardman on that team, and I don't feel like you lost anybody outside of Tyreek Hill that was like a piece that was a necessary piece to have, right? So they definitely need somebody to step up and fill in that production. Sky Moore is supposed to help with that. Mm-hmm. But again, you've got a pretty deep wide receiver. Oh, but you signed Juju Smith-Schuster, right?
Yeah, he's on a one-year contract. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, they have guys.
Right, so there are weapons for Pat and Patrick, excuse me. Sorry, Patrick. So they're getting better on defense because they know their offense can score points. And so they're going to try to stop other people from scoring points, get better. And you look at the corner, the safety, and the linebacker, the defensive end they got. Okay, we're now getting more pressure, covering better, and hitting the run and the blitz from that linebacker position. This feels great. I like what the Chiefs are doing.
And plus, you have to, especially whenever you have several of those big contracts, you have to build this way, right? Yes. And so you're thinking of it as, okay, the next 4 years – because what happens whenever that next player, you know, asks for a contract or whatnot, you know, it's like you have to kind of have that in almost like a college mentality, you know, like you got the player for 4 years of eligibility.
Yep.
You know, whenever you have a contract like that. So, yeah, you know, I'm very pleasantly surprised. I like Cook. I like McDuffie. They're versatile guys that fit their defense.
I don't know if you like who the Jets just took, but I think Michael Clemens.
Actually, it's ironic. I do like Michael Clemens, having seen him play yeah. With Leal. He can swing inside.
Yeah.
He's more of a run stopper than he is a pass rusher, but he's pretty athletic.
Yep.
And he fits that mold. I
think Leal Clemens in the third and fourth round, I think these guys were kind of came off underrated a little bit. I mean, maybe they're not underrated. Maybe it's just that good of a draft class, right?
It's deep.
Yeah, it's deep. So, you know, I could have seen those guys both going higher at some points during the year. But so getting him in the fourth round, I think that's a good pick.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the Jets continue.
I'm just hoping that they don't show any highlights against Mizzou here.
Yeah. Who else you got?
I actually continue to love what Baltimore's doing. Oh my gosh. Yes, they haven't addressed wide receiver, but look at who they got. Okay, so Kyle Hamilton falls to them at 14.
Yeah.
Are arguably a top five player in the draft.
Yeah.
They got the best, potentially one of the best linemen in the draft in Linderbaum at 25.
Yeah.
And then they go in the second round and they get Ojabo. I mean, come on. Like, yep. Is there not a better fit? And again, stability, you know, much like a division rival of theirs, Pittsburgh, you know, like this is a more stable organization.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And so it really breathes through in this draft. And then you get Travis Jones, who somehow, like, there must have been something there because...
Yeah, what happened? Why did he fall to the third round?
Don't know. You know, like, but I don't know.
But he did. Maybe it's just, you know... Oh, Caleb Evans just went to Minnesota.
Okay. M-I-Z?
Z-O-U. But this is their third defensive back they've taken?
They took a... okay, yeah, they took Scene, and then they took... Booth, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
And now Evans. Now Evans. So they really definitely thought they had questions on the secondary. But then the Ravens are now back on the clock, and they took Falele earlier.
Yeah. He fits their system.
Yeah.
Right? Run heavy. You know, system there, that kind of thing. They're building on both sides of the ball here,
yeah,
with all of their picks, you know, like they're doing the trenches big time, and then they got a back end help.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do offensively. You know, as far as weapons, that's the big question.
Yeah. So hopefully, and they own this round. They are picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times here in the fourth round.
I think they're going to move out of at least one or two of those because they don't have a fifth or a seventh.
And I think that's why you like the Ravens so much, is because this is exactly how you do a draft, is you trade back and collect all the fourth and fifth
round. I love the fourth round. Third and fourth, that's my bread and butter. That's how you build a team. They're not going to start right away, typically. You know, they're development guys, right, that you're getting. Now, sure. Falele... you know, he's probably going to start for them.
That's possible, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Philadelphia. Not Philadelphia. Well, I guess Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, Philadelphia's doing good. They haven't picked a lot, but they're doing well.
Yeah. They traded up. They used their capital to trade up.
Yeah. So they got Jordan Davis, Cameron Jurgens, who's a very athletic center. This guy was practically handpicked by their existing center. What's his name?
Kelsey,
as a replacement. N'Kobe Dean falls to them in the third round. Regardless of how you feel, that's fantastic value for N'Kobe Dean. And then they got AJ Brown in that trade.
Yeah, and that. They're positioning themselves very, very, very well.
Absolutely.
You know, they have some pieces to go, like, so they're positioning themselves for the future as well with some of this.
Yeah.
They needed a middle linebacker, so Dean just makes sense.
Yep.
They don't usually spend high draft capital on linebackers. So, makes
sense.
I figured that I would steal that one from you. I'm sorry.
No, that was fine. Do you want to steal my last one? You got another one? I've got two that I could talk about.
Well, go ahead. I'll...
So the first one here I mentioned to you earlier, Houston. Houston's doing a really great job with what they have. And you see them get Derek Stingley Jr., who's either your first or second corner on your board, you know, whoever you are. Athletic freak. Then they get Kenyon Green in the middle of the first to get better on the offensive line. They get Jalen Petre out of Baylor in the second. They get John Metchie in the second to get a weapon for Davis Mills. Then they get Christian Harris going back to that Alabama well for interior linebacker. And then they get Damian Pierce, running back out of Florida, who really showed out at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he's a pass blocker too.
Yeah,
on third down. So
absolutely. So this is a this is a good running back who can fill more than just a workhorse need for you. I think this has been a fantastic draft for Houston. They're building something.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not going to go to the playoffs next year, but they're building something.
I could see them not next year, but maybe the year after start, like if they continue building like this, right? And
right.
Next year, maybe they have some free agents that they're going to want to keep long term.
Well, the big question mark there, because they're doing great in this draft, but the question mark is stability in the front office and the coaching staff. Is Lovie Smith a bridge coach? Which, like, man, that would be dangerous if you are in this day and age, yeah. Because like there's lawsuits out there right now for doing this kind of thing. You know, your last coach was supposedly a bridge coach, you know, like it's rough. I love Lovie Smith, but I'm wondering if he was who they thought was really their answer and how long they're committed to him at coach. Cause if he's gone in 2 years, then you're kind of derailing what you're building.
Yeah. I feel like maybe that's an organization that thinks, okay, we've got the upper management portion correct. We just need to get the coach correct.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore went defense again, by the way. They got Jalen Armour Davis out of Alabama.
Tall corner.
But again, no offensive weapons to speak of, so.
Maybe that says a lot.
Yep.
Just run it. Win, baby, win.
Yeah. The other team that I would talk about is Green Bay. I do like what Green Bay did. I like that they didn't reach on a wide receiver. There were a lot of people that are like, oh, they could have taken Christian Watson in the first round with that 28th pick. Instead, they got better on defensive line and then moved up and got him early in the second. So you get a second round contract for a developmental wide receiver who has talent. The talent's there, but he's not like, if you're taking him in the first round, you're not getting a wide receiver one for that value. So,
yeah. And they don't take wide receivers in the first round.
They don't, but that's because a lot of times they're picking late in the first round, yeah. And that value is not great for wide receivers.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to understand that that's the case for them. And so, but then they say, we're going to be aggressive and we're not going to see who falls to us late in the second round. We're going to move up in the second round and get the best of the next tier that we think is on the board. And they got Christian Watson. So I think that's a good pick. And I love Sean Ryan out of UCLA. They go and get him to make their offensive line stronger or have some depth there.
Yeah. Which you have to do so they've got a couple of offensive pieces there. That kind of thing to, I mean, they're going to need it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I like what they're doing. All right. So something that something else that we were kind of were giving kudos to all of the teams for is nobody overspent really, maybe with the exception of Pittsburgh on a quarterback.
Yeah, and I'll even not necessarily defend, but understand the Pittsburgh pick.
Sure,
if that's your guy. If you're sold on him, you take it with conviction. That kind of thing, and they did that. They stuck with their guns, and they did that. But you know, it's them moving around. You know, beyond that, they're still like they're putting pieces around that too. So it's like I definitely like what they're doing there. I think for maybe one of the first times, you know, like where the three quarterbacks went in the third round, like.
Made sense.
It all makes sense, and perhaps they're actually in a position to hopefully succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean, that's a huge thing.
They could. Some of these guys could. Okay. I know this could be misconstrued. Some of these guys could end up being better than some of the guys that were drafted in the first round last year because they're going to a place situation. Where they can grow, develop, yeah. And will be safe. And they're not being thrown to the wolves, you know. Like we just, like I just talked about Chicago, not doing enough for their quarterback. So what's going to happen to Fields in 2 years if he's not developing, getting better because they're not giving him the necessary tools to get better? They're not
going to be injured,
right? But then you look at a Malik Willis who gets to go play behind Tannehill, put a little pressure on Tannehill,
mm-hmm.
gets a chance to develop, gets a chance to learn. You've got Desmond Ridder in Atlanta, gets a chance to develop, gets a chance to learn.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have this pressure on them right away. Even Kenny Pickett gets to sit behind Mitch Trubisky So there's, you know, there's maybe not a lot of pressure to have him out on the field right away. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, you end up with
Corral
going to Carolina behind Darnold. Mm-hmm. So, like, you could make a case that there could be quarterback competitions for these guys, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, though, you got them all. You got three of those four guys with third-round contracts.
Yeah.
As opposed to spending top-tier draft capital in the first round. So instead of getting Matt Corral in the first round to compete with Sam Darnold and have that pressure to have him start, you got the best tackle in the draft to protect whichever of those two quarterbacks are playing.
Yeah.
Right? And I like what Carolina did here, too, because they were like, you know what? Detroit could take Corral. So what we're going to do is we're going to trade up ahead of Detroit and tell Cleveland, like, we're done playing games with you. We're not taking Baker Mayfield off your hands. If you're not going to take some of his contract, we're going to go get somebody else. And you guys can have fun dealing with his contract.
And I think the rest of the NFL is like, yeah, go ahead and cut him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think at this point they're like, yeah, go ahead and cut him so he can go to Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Might as well.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Let him go down there, sit behind Tom Brady, eat a little humble pie, and then maybe be the starter next year.
He doesn't eat humble pie.
Well, he could learn. Get some of that humble pie shoved in your face.
Big question is, you know, like, what happens to the commercials? You know, like, because he doesn't own Cleveland anymore.
I saw somebody with putting up memes of him, like, of him in those commercials, but they superimposed Deshaun Watson in there, and it's like him showing him his new home, like, you're handing over the keys to Deshaun Watson.
Well, no, Deshaun Watson's like, this guy's an idiot. I'm just gonna punch the code, which is 6.
Right.
Sorry. Little comedy factor there.
Yeah. But the fact that you've got three of these guys going in the third round, and you still got Sam Howell and Carson Strong, two other guys that were talked about as going in the first round potentially, mm-hmm. are still on the board here halfway through the fourth round. Like, these guys are, this is pretty good value. You think about last year, Kellen Mond went in the third round, Davis Mills went in the third round. Like, you know, this is great value for some guys that at one point we're talked about being first rounders. Now, I know some of that was, we're not grading them as first rounders, but they're the best quarterbacks in this draft and people reach on quarterbacks. But this year they didn't do that. Nobody reached.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if maybe this is going to be a little bit more of a trend as well. You know, maybe teams are learning from this. Maybe.
Hey. I hope so. You know, like, they're like, you know, it's more important that we have wide receivers that are going to catch the ball. It's more important that we have offensive linemen that are going to protect the quarterback. Let's go get those guys first and get these quarterbacks who are going to cost us the most money long term. Let's get them on the most friendly contract deals in the second, third round.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the second you have that guy that shows up in college that looks like the next, you know, second coming of Joe Montana.
He went in the third round.
Right. once you get that guy, you know, teams are going to go back up there to get those guys, but it's kind of cool to see them hold off on this class.
Which allows, you know, like, a lot of the other talent or whatnot to actually get elevated to where they should be.
Absolutely.
You know, picked, unless you're New England. You're going to go ahead and trade up to get a fourth round wide receiver in the second round.
Yeah, good job, Bill. I think this year was a definitive just evidence that Bill needs to relinquish front office duties.
Or at least, like,
take more partners.
Yeah, and maybe he does, and maybe that's part of the issue. I don't know, but I don't feel a mojo. Like, I'm always, like, last year, whenever, you know, at 15 they get their quarterback.
Yeah,
like that felt like a Belichick draft, right? You know, with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that felt like what we say a Belichick draft is, mm-hmm. not necessarily the reality of what a Belichick draft is. You know?
And maybe we're seeing a little bit more of the reality here.
I think we are.
Or at least the current reality. You know, he didn't get draft film on everybody.
And the Vegas Raiders just took Zamir White out of Georgia.
Bye-bye, Brandon Jacobs. Yeah. They didn't pick up his fifth
So they'll have a year where they get to have them kind of, you know, split carries back there. I like Zamir White. I thought at one point that he could have been the best running back in this draft, but then other guys proved me wrong on that. But 2 years ago, I thought he was going to be the best running back in this draft.
Yeah, I'll let you keep that.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. You know, thoughts change. All right. But a lot of the best players are gone now.
Yeah.
Right?
Now it's, okay, who can we get?
Right. Now you're filling a space. You're getting development guys. Let's take a minute and talk about who are some of the guys that haven't been taken yet that we're excited to see where they go.
Okay.
Do you want me to start? Or you want to start?
I'm going to start because he's number one in my book.
Number one in your heart?
Well, yeah. The lead rusher for the SEC last year.
Who was that?
Just somebody. Some dude. 5'9", tailback.
From?
Memphis.
Well, by way of Mizzou. Talking about Tyler Beatty, for the listener singular at home, Jason, we're talking about Tyler Beatty.
And Ryan Tannehill. You know, like, you could use him, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Just saying. I've been fortunate to have watched him quite literally play. Like, I've seen him in person, and he's been their offense for three seasons. I mean,
yeah,
it just how much has to go through him. And then I'll never forget talking with Tim, and I was like, man, I'm worried that he's going to get injured. You know, like I kept on telling Tim that because I'm like, they're going to work him.
Yeah.
And they worked him, but he just kept going.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that proved a lot that he could be the main guy. Granted, in the NFL, I think he's a third down guy, at least to start off with, because he can pass block. He's not the biggest guy in the world, so that has a little bit to go against him. But he's also a receiver out there. You could split him out wide and have him run routes.
Oh, the Chargers just took Isaiah Spiller.
Oh, well.
I didn't expect them to take a running back this high, but okay.
Well, I mean, it is the fourth round, so.
Yeah, I just, maybe because I think about it from a Madden perspective, I felt like their running back room was pretty full, but maybe I'm just seeing it the wrong way.
Well, they have Larry Roundtree. Eckler.
Yeah, Eckler, and then.
Is Jackson still with them, though?
See, that's what I thought, but maybe not.
I don't think Jackson is with them. Maybe I'm wrong. And so this makes sense. You know, he's a bigger back.
Yeah.
So he's really just a one-cut type guy.
Yeah. So speaking of running back, since you were talking about Tyler Beatty,
mm-hmm.
we just saw Spiller come off the thing. A guy I'm interested to see if he goes in the draft at all is Keontae Ingram out of USC. Lost his spot in Texas when Bijan Robinson came into his own, went to USC. And I think there's a lot of people who've studied him. I think there's a lot of love for him. He's 5'10", 228. You know, so he's got some meat to his bones. I think he could be a good running back in the NFL. A guy who gets some carries here and there to start, but maybe a guy that you use as a workhorse on first and second down, something like that. So I'm interested to see if he goes, and if so, where. Oh, hey, The Cleveland Browns just took Cade York out of LSU, place kicker. That was our first special teamer. Beat out Matt Areza. Yeah.
I had predicted Areza in the fifth, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's fantastic.
That's hilarious. Wow. Best players still available. Getting back to that, there's several of them. I'll try to just kind of group some of them together here.
Sure.
That I like. I like Calvin Austin the third.
Yeah.
I like Tariq Woolen.
Yeah.
Sam Howell, I think, he's a third round quarterback that is now in the fourth round.
I remember when he was a freshman, you were really high on him.
I really like his game, but obviously there's something that I just don't know, right? But, you know, like, I mean, a team that could pick him up, he's at least going to be a serviceable backup.
Well, maybe he just didn't meet the expectations that we had 3 years ago. Like, he's not bad.
I think he's a little bit of a product of that offense, statistically at least.
That could be.
But, you know, like, I don't question his heart at all. No. I think he's a hard worker, and he wants to leave it all out on the field.
Yeah.
Those are my main two. Zion McCollum, again, you know, like looking at, defensive back.
This was a guy that I was going to talk about, and he just got taken by the Dolphins. And Eric Ezukanma out of Texas Tech, 6'3", 220. This is a guy I saw as a kind of a sleeper. I actually had him rated as a 70 overall in the Madden draft class, but listed down more as a fourth, fifth, or sixth rounder. So I like, when I was looking at stuff, this is a guy that I really liked, and it's neat to see him go to the Dolphins. That's kind of interesting, which is the team I was considering taking in Madden next year.
there, he's sold. He just wants to go all lefty.
Oh, yeah.
No, I actually...
Tastes for Tua.
Wow. No, I think Eric Ezukanma is actually, he's a guy who in your drafts I've always kind of put, again, in that same range.
Yeah.
As I'm like, maybe he's a draft and develop type guy.
Yeah, I think it's good.
But he's big bodied, yeah.
And the guys I'm looking at here are guys that I like, not necessarily the best players. So, like, I know you were looking at some of the best available. But apparently Miami thought Eric was the best available there. A couple other guys that I really like are Chris Paul out of Tulsa, Olakunji Fadakasi out of Rutgers, mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah.
Interior defensive lineman Demetrius Taylor out of Appalachian State. I think he is a guy that would be a good developmental player later in the draft. My favorite tight end is Grant Calcaterra out of SMU. This is a guy who's got a pretty cool story and plays good football. Professionally, he retired at one point and then while at Oklahoma and then came back to SMU. And of course, my QB1, Bailey Zappe out of Western Kentucky. He's not actually my QB1 as far as who's best, but I really like Zappe. The moment I heard about him at Houston, was it Houston Baptist?
Yeah. Houston Baptist.
And so then having him come to Western Kentucky and have that kind of success, put up tons of numbers. And yeah, he followed his coach over there, so he was playing in the same scheme, and that scheme really did him wonders.
Yeah. He zapped him, you would say.
Yeah, and I think the last guy, I think a lot of these Baylor guys are getting drafted. I think Kalen Barnes will be interesting just because he's a track speed at defensive back, so that'll be interesting.
Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, other than Isaiah Likely, I'm trying to look through names here.
That's what I would have loved to have seen the Chargers take. Instead of a running back, instead of Spiller, there would have been Isaiah Likely.
Sorry, I'm trying to catch up.
on some of these names.
Yeah. Donovan West, center out of Arizona State. I would have taken him over Luke
Faulkner.
I think Verone McKinley is a safety that everybody thought was going to be pretty good, and he got outshined by the safety class.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of always thought that he was going to be like fourth, fifth rounder.
Okay.
But
safety doesn't have a lot of value, you know.
Yeah.
So like a fourth or fifth round safety is still a pretty good safety.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not to, you know, downgrade the player or anything right. like that. I love safeties.
Kingsley and Igbari.
Yeah. Who is not, he's not a speed defensive end. And that's what probably hurts him the most. He doesn't excel at one thing. He just does a lot of things well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put anybody else of like the, ooh, I've got, you know, got to watch that person, you know. I think I've. Yeah. We got some dead air here because we're looking through our list.
Because we're looking through the list. The problem I'm running into is I know all these names, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to pick a guy like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy.
I mean, Romeo Dubs, maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, the wide receiver out of Nevada.
Yeah.
He's really just a go route guy, but.
Here's a running back people were really high on was Pierre Strong Jr. He just went to New England.
Ah, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
That's actually, yeah.
So maybe Bill's trying to right that ship?
I think somebody else made that pick for him.
That could be.
Another guy, you know what? I'm just going to mention this. Justin Ross.
Yes.
He doesn't have that injury. Man, that championship game his freshman year, I was like, holy crap, that dude is just tearing him up.
We thought he was going to be the top receiver by this time this year.
And just injuries. And, yeah, I mean, it just shows you how much that could, A, slow you down as a wide receiver, but also, you know, slow down your reputation too. You know, like, I just feel like he's one of those guys that, like, you can get, and if he stays healthy, like, he's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I want to see? I want to see Tampa Bay take Sam Howell.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I mean, you're getting him at a much better value than you got Kyle Trask.
I think he's better than
Trask. I think he's better than Trask, too. And you know who he gets comped to a lot? Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
So you're then telling Cleveland, you know what? We don't want Baker either.
Well, so here's something that I'm going to, you know, since we're on this topic, I'm going to roll with it and run with it. So, I like what Seattle's doing.
Yes.
In their draft. It also, they've come out and at least basically told some of the analysts, hey, we like Drew Lock more than you guys do.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's probably the reason why they did all the PR stuff. Like, he was,
yeah,
he wasn't just an add-in in that trade.
They treated him like he was QB1.
Yeah. Here's my worry, though, is Baker Mayfield ends up going there.
Where else is he going to go at this point?
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Up till now, Seattle has very strongly shown, like, look, we've made our decision.
Yeah.
So, like, they would really have to panic after some camps and some
things. I don't know if they want all that noise.
Who does?
You know,
they had enough noise with Russell Wilson, and that was quiet noise.
Yeah.
You know, like, that wasn't very loud. By the way, The Ravens just took Charlie Kolar out of Iowa State, tight end, another tight end.
Who's like, actually really good.
Who's so like, good.
And like, that's tough. You know, he's not a blocker. Again, you know, like, but.
No, but he's
good.
But you're putting him out there as your second or third tight end.
They're just going to run. They're going to roll out four tight ends.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson and, these are and a be, running back.
And these are going to be your dump off options.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, though, like if they actually did that consistently?
Yep. Oh, jeez, man.
That's hilarious.
I want to see Green Bay draft a quarterback as well, just because it would be hysterical. for two reasons. The first reason is because, you know, you got Aaron Rodgers. He just signed that contract. And you're like, okay, we're going to spend a draft pick on a quarterback. Which, if you had taken a quarterback in the fourth round the year you took Jordan Love.
Yeah, you're fine.
There's not an issue, right? But you trade up and get Jordan Love. Yeah. That's the other reason why this would be hysterical, because you're kind of saying, we don't believe in Jordan Love.
Do they?
I don't think anybody believes in Jordan Love, except for a couple YouTube scouts that think that Jordan Love would have been number one in this quarterback class, and thought that teams like Seattle would be better off getting Jordan Love than Drew Locke, or that Carolina should have gone and got him, or that Atlanta should have gone and got him.
It's funny that you mentioned that Jordan Love and Drew Locke. You know they're actually tied together there.
Because didn't they work out with the same?
They were really, really, because Drew Locke came out the year before Jordan Love did.
Yes.
And, well, didn't come out. He, you know, his eligibility had expired. But Denver moved up ahead of Green Bay, who had worked out Drew several times.
Yeah.
And I know this because I know this.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before.
Yes. And I thought that he would end up going to Green Bay. I thought Drew was actually going to be a Packer.
Wow.
And, you know, I was like, I think he's going to be a Packer, you know, since he made it to the second round. But then that happens. And so that's the reason why Green Bay is like, nope, this is our guy. We're going after him.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think there's a little bit of that.
No, I have no problem with Green Bay trying to get an heir for.
No, like, yeah, with the instability of the, is he coming back? Is he not? You know, like, I mean, it's Brett Favre all over again.
Yeah.
Which, if you've seen that commercial with him in the
it's hot Brett's tub. Bubble time.
Anyhow, I had to mention that about.
Oh, but how far has he fallen that he's starring in commercials with TikTok stars? Oh, gosh. Here's another tight end pick I like. Dallas just took Jake Ferguson.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the tight end run. Oh, but Baltimore's back up now.
Yep.
So they're at least getting weapons for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just not at wide receiver.
It's not that type of weapon.
Yes.
Yep. Wow. Okay. Well, I think we hit all of our points here. We got any other things we haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
I think, well, as we've been recording here, our Madden League thread is going crazy about Chad wanting to play his game.
Well, we've told him like six times, like, we're enjoying the draft. You were invited over. To sit and veg out, and then he's like, oh, can we do the draft? It's like, I'm not at home because I'm at Nate's house.
My wife isn't home right now, right. You know, like, so it's one of those things that, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I can't come over there because I gotta work, but I can do the draft.
Well, that's because he can, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. IT's interesting. Yeah. Although I work on site now.
But if he asks me again if I want to draft, I'm going to tell him this.
I'm going to do what's best for the team.
Yes. And and then I'm going to be like, acts like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Sorry, Chad, we've lost that love and feeling.
Yeah. I hate it when she does that.
And I don't want to play this game with you anymore. We're going all over the place at this point.
But thank you for bearing with us. Ryan Tannehill, thank you for being cool with Desmond Ridder. Be good to him. And
Tannehill didn't get Ridder. He got Willis.
Malik Willis, my bad. Sorry, you know what I meant. I got that completely wrong.
Yeah, and Chad, play your game
play it
when we're good and ready for you.
Yeah, whenever we're ready.